precious cornerstone, a sure foundation, a sure foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, he that believeth shall not make haste.
This is the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast with Dr. K. Daniel Freed, coming to you from Powder Springs, Georgia, USA, reaching the nation of Israel, God's chosen people, the Jews, with the good news of their Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lord Jesus Christ. Speaking out against anti-Semitism while promoting love for Israel, God's ancient people, the apple of his eye. Believing in what the Holy Scriptures say in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, I will bless them that bless thee. Preaching from God's holy word, the King James Bible. The prophetic truths of the second coming of our Lord. Blowing the trumpet in Zion and warning God's people and the nations about the judgment to come. Exposing apostasy and the developing one world antichrist system. Stay tuned for this hour with the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast. This is News and Analysis with Dr. K. Daniel Freed. Well, 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 the Bible tells us that the nation that forsakes God shall be turned into hell. And there is a moral decline in this country. It is seen everywhere. You see it on the highways as you travel with these lewd, provocative posters and advertisements that just in-your-face type of thing. It's a shame. And many countries in Europe have outright pornography as advertisement. I mean, just outright pornography. But who is to say what is pornography? It used to be if a woman would wear shorts, it was considered nakedness. Of course, the Bible talks about that it is. But our society in America is quickly following the steps of liberal countries, morally liberal countries like Canada, Europe, for example, in Germany, there are outrageous advertisements of blatant pornography and blatant acts of lewdness and lasciviousness and wantonness. And America is coming right along following that example. Well, we'll get into some of that as we go on today in this broadcast, but interesting that they have noticed the female lizard in the United States is predominant lizard called the side blotched lizard is the most common lizard in the United States, west part of the United States. And this is reported by Associated Press. And in the war between the sexes, a new study shows the female side-blotched, what a name, side-blotched lizard wins it all. She selects her many mates, decides where they'll live, and even determines if they will have sons or daughters. Virtually every element of the mating and reproducing cycle of the small American lizard is controlled by the female's choices. This reported by a biologist in UCLA. This is the ultimate example of a female having her cake and eating it too. Well, that's interesting, because I think some of our women are just like this lizard. And they're domineering. They have a big mouth. And they do not even understand what the word submission means. No, I'm not a male chauvinist. I'm simply a biblicist. I believe what the Bible says. Now, when a woman knows her place, everything works just fine. But when a woman starts putting on the pants and rolling up the sleeves and starts trying to be a man, then we got absolute chaos. When a woman decides she's going to be the head of the home, we have what many call a monstrosity. You know why it's a monstrosity? Because two heads make a monstrosity. You mean to tell me that there are lizard-tongued women out there? You know, until I read this article about the side-blotched lizard, commonly in large quantities in the West Coast of the United States of America, I always thought that was some kind of, remark made by male chauvinists about lizard-tongued women. But apparently, this expression is based on some facts, some biblical truth about these kinds of women. Now, so that I can set the record straight, I am not against women. My mother was a woman. Hallelujah. My wife is a woman. Praise God. I am not against women. Oh, no. Listen, thank God for godly women. And I do believe behind every great man of God, there's been a great woman somewhere along the line, whether it's a godly wife, godly mother, or godly grandmother. So, let it be known that I am not against women. But women have their place and men have their place. And that's the way God ordained it. And that's the way God made it to be. And so I'm going to show you some scriptures. I'm going to expound to you that some of the reason maybe largely has to do with the fact that we have forced our ladies, our women, our wives, into positions that God didn't create them for. You know, it all started back there, at least in the United States. It started big time back in World War I and II, especially when many of the women were, well, some went voluntarily and many felt obligated, as patriotic women felt at that time, to go and work in the factories. And consequently, the women of America changed is what happened. They started cutting off their long hair and putting on men's apparel in order to do man's job. I guess it's understandable once you get into the workplace, you will start to become who you're around. And, well, it's so sad because of that, our children have suffered. That's right. Our children have suffered. Well, I'm going to begin about this. I call it bobbed hair, bossy wives, and strange women. And the first problem we see out there is the attitude. The attitude. It's the attitude that is contrary to the biblical attitude of submission. Submission, not a bossy attitude. In fact, this can be clearly seen in the very beginning in the Bible, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, when the Bible said unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy, watch out now, thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Yes, 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 yes. That's what the Bible says. And I would say at least some of our problem would be solved if our wives would be submissive to their husbands. And the Bible says, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and that's a problem out there. We got a bunch of wimpy husbands and men who don't have any backbone to be good leaders in their homes. It's no wonder many of the wives take it upon themselves to become the leaders. And consequently, there is an epidemic of divorce. Yes. So, the fact of the matter is that lack of submission will result in a bossy attitude. In fact, in the book of Proverbs, inspired of God, Solomon, that great king, he knew a lot about wives. I guess he ought to have known a lot about wives. He had 700 of them. Can you imagine having more than one wife, let alone 700? And then on top of that, he had 300 concubines. They were kind of second class or lower end wives. And I tell you what, that drives somebody absolutely crazy. But anyway, he said in Proverbs chapter 27, verse 15, a continual dropping in a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. And if you're a husband out there, I really doubt very much you could not say a hearty amen to that. Oh, yes, we men have our problems. I'm not going to deny that. Yes, we got a bunch of dictators out there. But that I will say for some other time. Now I'm talking about you, a woman. If you are listening to this broadcast, it is especially important for you to take heed to the admonishment of the Holy Scriptures. It'll do you good and you'll be a happy person. You see, Solomon was wise. He's the wisest man that ever lived upon this earth outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said twice, I mean, this is emphatic, he said. First time he said, Proverbs chapter 21, verse 9, it is better to dwell, listen to this, in a corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. He felt so strongly about that, that he almost word for word repeated it. In Proverbs chapter 25, verse 24, he said, it is better to dwell in the corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman and in a wide house. So when you have a bossy wife or a bossy woman, you got problems. You may not like what I'm about to say, but I do not agree that women ought to be in leadership position. You call it what it is, male chauvinism, whatever you want to call it. This is the Bible principle. Men are to be in leadership. It has nothing to do with women being treated like second-class people or to be treated wrongfully. In fact, the Bible talks a lot about how women ought to be treated. But the bottom line is this. God ordained it this way. Take it up with God. Now, getting back to the wives in particular, if you want to have a happy husband, And you may be living with a tyrant. You might be living with a dictator. You might be living with an abusive husband. I got some good counsel for you from the Bible. In fact, I can save you a lot of money. You don't have to go to a marriage counselor. That's right. Just listen to what the Bible has to say. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, the Bible says, "Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word," that's referring to the word of God, "they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives." So God's saying that if you subject yourself to your own husband and have a submissive attitude instead of a bossy one, then your conduct, your conversation of life, your testimony, your behavior is going to provoke your husband to treat you right. "While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold and of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart and that which is not corruptible." And here's the explanation of what he just said. "Even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price." Isn't that something? It's rare to find women, godly women, who have a meek and quiet spirit in these days of women being in the workforce and joining the military and going out there and doing things that are the responsibility of men. It is hard for them to be meek and quiet. For God says a meek and quiet spirit is in the sight of God of great price. "For after this manner in the old time, the holy women..." Hey, lady, you want to be holy? Well, first of all, let me just say this. You need to get right with God. You need to be born again. You need to be saved from your sins. And then God could show you here how to be holy. But even if you're not born again, I believe these principles will still work. A submissive wife, a quiet and meek spirit will produce a better home. I guarantee you that. But it's far better if you and your husband know the Lord as your Lord and Savior. "For after this manner in old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands." Now, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, the Bible says, calling him Lord, and that, by the way, is with a lowercase L, "whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement." So even we have the pattern here of the Old Testament women, Sarah, being an example. And she was submissive. And I guess, again, I'm not going to condone the wickedness in these other countries that make women, make them into slaves. I'm not for that. I'm against that. That's definitely not in the Bible. But nevertheless, there has been a loss of the right place for women in our country, United States of America, and by the way, many European countries, for the most part, all European countries. And even in the state of Israel today, women are very domineering, and they have taken the place of leadership in many places. And I don't agree with that. So it's no wonder the Arab countries look at the Western Hemisphere as loose living. They can't understand. Here we are calling ourselves a Christian country, a godly country, a country that represents the Bible, and our women and our wives are rebellious. They're rebellious in how they act. They're rebellious in their appearance. And they're rebellious in their daily life. Now, if you are a godly woman and you love the Lord and you're seeking to follow the pattern in the scriptures, I commend you. Hearty amen to you. But I'm telling you, one of the things are leading our society down the drain, why our children are runaway kids, while many of our children end up on the streets. I'll tell you why. Yes, there's derelict husbands out there, derelict fathers, but our wives, our women, are not doing what they're supposed to do. Now, here's the balance. The Bible says in verse 7 here, likewise, your husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. So, husbands, listen up. If you know Christ as your Savior, you must deal with your wife with knowledge. Don't be ignorant about her needs. She is a weaker vessel. I often illustrate this way, that if you have a china dish and you drop it, it's going to break. Women were not made to lift 300 pounds. They were not made to do the manual labor that God ordained men to do. And it's not right for us to force them to do it. In other words, go out there, man, and cut the grass. Go out and paint the house. Go do the work of a man. Be a man, will you? And let our wives, and let the women be women, and let them be good at it. There's nothing like a godly woman who has a quiet and meek spirit and dresses godly. Nothing like it. Oh, man, it's wonderful. And you know what? She feels better about it, too, because she will see the results. That's right. She will. But we husbands, we need to be very, very considerate. In fact, Jesus said we need to take care of our wives as he takes care of his own church. And therefore, we need to take care of our wives like our own body, the Bible says. So how about it? Oh, I'm sure many of you out there are just plumb mad at me now. Well, I'm just preaching the truth. I'm telling you what the Bible says. All right? Now, they are bossy in their attitudes, and they're loud in their appearance. Whereby they ought to be secret, they're not supposed to be seductive or provocative. Now, here's a big problem today. This is all part of that rebellious women's lib mentality. Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 5, the Bible says, the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. So, oh, I know somebody's going to say, well, that was in the Old Testament. That was back in the days when things were old-fashioned, and now this is archaic. Listen, it's not archaic when God said it's an abomination unto the Lord thy God. You know what the word abomination means? It means he detests it. It's repugnant in the nostrils of God. So it is a timeless truth. Hey, listen, it applies to every generation. So, should a woman wear pants? No. Because the Bible says that a woman should not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, and vice versa. I read some article, I don't know where it is, I'll probably find it one day or another here, about men dressing like women. Now, that's wicked as hell. I guess some of the pagan religions practice that abomination. I'll tell you right now, we are plumb loose society. That's right, plumb loose society. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9, verse 14, the Bible says, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness. That means extreme modesty and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array. But which becometh women professing godliness with good works? Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. And that's why in the assembly of the saints, when women start teaching a mixed congregation, it is not right. It is unscriptural, folks. The Bible says, but I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. And I'm going to hit on that real hard because the Bible hits on it hard. There are not to be women preachers out there. Nothing against women, but they are not to be in that capacity. That is a Bible teaching. It's a doctrine. Would you stop rebelling and fighting against the words of God? The Bible says here's the reason. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. So there you go. That's the reason why God ordained it this way. Now, getting to appearance furthermore, in 1 Corinthians 11:15, the Bible says, but if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. Yes, a covering, a natural covering. And Brother Lester Roloff, great man of God who has gone on to be with the Lord, always used to say that our women today are short on glory. And they are short on glory because they've cut their hair, bobbed hair, women. It's an epidemic. Women looking like men, bobbed hair. I'll tell you, from a man's point of view, if you have bobbed hair, it is absolutely disgusting. It won't turn any man on. If that's what you're trying to do, it's not going to turn anybody on to you. It is absolutely disgusting. It's wicked. Why don't you start looking like a woman? Why don't you start acting like a woman? That's right. The women in the New Testament, that dear saint of God, when Jesus came her way, her hair was long enough to wipe his feet. Women ask me all the time when I'm in meetings, how long is long? Well, I usually say, it ought to be long enough that if Jesus was to come into a congregation of believers, you could wipe his feet. Well, that's all I got for now in this segment. Now, there's more to come, and Lord willing, next time during the news, I will continue on this subject here about Borsi wives and bobbed hair women, and I'll get into more about strange women. This is all part of the news today because I read about it almost every day. Well, stay tuned now. We got a lot more stuff coming your way, and you don't want to miss it. You have been listening to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast coming to you from Powder Springs, Georgia, USA. Now, we invite you to continue to stay with us for another 30 minutes of good broadcasting regarding the Jews and the issues pertaining to the nation of Israel and what the Bible has to say about it. If you're interested in this, we know you'll not be disappointed. If you have a love for the Jewish people, or if you even have questions about their existence, oh my, you need to stay tuned and find out what the Bible says about it. But if you must leave, we sure like you to come back next time. But until then, would you please write us and let us know that you've enjoyed this broadcast, or if you have any questions at all, we'll do our very best to answer you. Now, please write us at the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. Once again, that's the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, PowderSprings, Georgia, or GA, 30127, USA. If you're interested in helping keep this program on the air, please send any gifts to this address, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. We're also accepting King James Bibles in good condition. This helps us to distribute these Bibles throughout the world. There are thousands, tens of thousands of people that are begging us for Bibles throughout the world. And we do our best to send them Bibles, but they're very expensive. So if you would do what you can to help us keep our supply going, we would be very thankful to you. Now, please continue to stay tuned now to the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast. Invite your family, your friends, your business associates, anybody that has an interest in the Jewish question as to whether they should exist or not. Now, the Bible has a lot to answer to that. But if you have a love for the Jew, you know what the answer is already. Yes, indeed. They are God's chosen people, the apple of His eye.
Showeth mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all of their hearts. O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heavens.
Well, this is Dr. K. Daniel Free. Thank you for staying with us for the last half of this broadcast. And we want to continue to finish this great message by Dr. Ronnie Simpson, great man of God, preacher of righteousness. And the title of the message is, Till He Come. Now, if you're interested about the true meaning of the Passover and the messianic theme regarding that great feast of the Jews, you're in for a treat. So buckle your seatbelts and listen to what the Bible has to say.
Because of this reason. Yet Jesus drank the fourth cup that completed the Passover feast, the meal, and they would have to wait another year before they could have the Passover meal again. Had Jesus known the Scripture, had Jesus known the prophecy, was not praying, "Oh God, don't let me die in Gethsemane." But you know what Jesus said? He said, "Let this cup pass from me. I don't want to drink this fourth cup." You know what He said? "God, let me live. God, let me live. God, let me live until I paid every sin debt at Calvary. Let this cup pass from me. I don't want to wait another year. I don't want to wait another day. I don't want to wait another hour. I want to go to the cross. I want to pay the sin debt. I want to defeat the devil and hell and the imps of hell." He prayed in the garden for the Lord to let this cup, the fourth cup of the Passover, pass from him. And that prayer was answered because he never saw the disciples again after that Passover day. He never drank the fourth cup of the Passover. So Jesus not only prayed, Lord, don't let me die in Gethsemane. Let me die on the cross as prophesied and get me out of the grave. But he also prayed, don't let me live. Let me die. I don't want to drink that fourth cup. If he had drank that fourth cup, he would have had another wait another year to come back to Passover to die for the sins of the world. And he had violated Scripture. He had broken a prophecy. And everything would be null and void. He said, God, let me go all the way to the cross. He said, don't let me die in Gethsemane. That's too soon. But he said, God, let me live until I've hung between heaven and earth and I've become the complete substitute, paid the complete sacrifice, shed my blood to redeem sinful men. He said, God, let me live until everything is taken care of. Amen. Well, I thought about it. And I said, well, there's a question coming in my mind. When will Jesus drink the fourth cup? When will Jesus drink the fourth cup? Well, he told us when he drank the fourth cup. He was there drinking the third cup. And when he said, then he said in Matthew 26 and 29, he said, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until the day that I drink it of you with me in my Father's kingdom. Hey, you know what his Father's kingdom is? It's that 1,000-year reign after the rapture of church, after the 7 years of tribulation, after the devil's been whipped to death, after everything's been taken care of, Israel is going to be recovered, and Israel's going to go back to the Holy Land, and the Lord's going to meet Israel, and he's going to drink that cup afresh and anew with his people. You saw, preacher, what's the big deal? Well, it's a big deal. Because it has to be the same people that drank the first, second, and third cup has to be there when the fourth cup. Hey, Jesus weren't just dying for those 12 disciples, but he came to die for the sins of the whole world. And so every blood-bought child of God that's ever been redeemed by the grace of God has to be present in that day when he drinks that fourth cup. Well, you say, preacher, what is that so important? That's talking about the security of the believer. That's talking about once saved, always saved. That means that he can't go into that millennial kingdom until every child of God has been redeemed and resurrected and are together where they can drink it again. All of his disciples have to be there to drink that last cup. I don't know where it is. I don't know how long it's going to be. But you mark this thing down. When the saints come marching in, I'm going to be in line. And they can't eat the supper. They can't drink the drink. They can't sit down at the marriage supper of the Lamb until every blood-bought child of God stands in his presence. But thank God when all of God's children get home, thank God we're going to drink it anew with him in the kingdom of God. Amen. You say, preacher, what's the big deal? Everybody's got to be there. Not only the children have got to be there, but the one that said, I'm going to drink it with you and you. Jesus assured us that he's coming back again. Oh, some glad day. And the sky's going to break and we're going to come riding out on white horses. And the one that drank the first cup, the second cup, and the third cup but refused to drink the fourth cup, he's going to be there. Don't you ever let some liberal professor tell you that his bones have rotted at some old dust decay somewhere. Now I want to tell you something. On that resurrection morning, he come up out of the grave, he ascended into glory. And when we go marching in, he's going to be at the head of the line. Amen. You know what the Jews do every year? They drink. They have the Passover. They still celebrate the Passover. You know what they do? They drink three cups of wine mixed with water. But you know what they do? They set a fourth cup on the table, hoping it'll be this Passover that Elijah will come and drink that cup and open up the way for the Messiah. I want to say they're just about 2,000 years too late. He's already come. But hallelujah, He's coming back again. He's coming back again. You know what I said? I said every time we take the Lord's Supper, we ought to put a cup on the table for Him and tell Him that we miss Him and tell Him that we're looking for Him and to tell Him that just as we're sure that we're saved forever, that some golden daybreak, Jesus is coming back again. And He cannot drink it until we're there. And I want to tell you something, and we can't drink it until He's there. Somebody said the marriage supper table is spread from sky to sky, but they can't eat a bite till we get there. We're going to drink it anew with Him someday, children. Hey, this is just a little old hotel that we're spending the night in. But in the morning, we're going to wake up and go home. Amen. And we're going to sit down in the kingdom. Why are we going to sit down in the kingdom? Because we're not slaves anymore. We're sons that's resting in God, leaning on Jesus, knowing that everything is secure. And we know that He that's promised is also able to perform. Amen. His word, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. My eternal inheritance is as safe and secure as the words in this book. Amen. Amen. So we've got to be there in order for Jesus to drink that fourth cup. And He's got to be there in order for us to drink the fourth cup. But guess, can I say something? Can I inform you something? We're both going to be there. We're both going to be there. And John said, I saw the heavens open like a trifold. He said the third heaven opened, the second heaven opened, and the first heaven. And I saw Him riding out. Guess what His name is? Faithful and True. His name is Faithful and True. Whatever He said, you can take it to the bank. Said where you at? I'm heaven bound with the hammer down. I'm the saved as pitiful. Sealed unto the day of redemption. Secured by the blood. Secured by the word of God. Hey, we're going there. He's coming back. 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 He's coming back to rule and reign for 1,000 years. He's already drunk the first three. But said, I want you to not let me drink that fourth one. I want to live until all. But he said to children, don't worry. I know I didn't get to drink that fourth one with you. But He said there's coming a day that we're going to sit down at a table and we're going to drink it anew. I don't know about you, but there's something in heaven. And somebody in heaven's leaned over right now and strumming the strings of my heart. Oh, have you ever doubted your salvation? Oh, about 586 million times. Would it help some of you converts to let you know that your pastor in times past has doubted his salvation? I want to tell you something. You know what? He says everybody that drank of the first three are going to drink of the fourth one. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Say, where are you going? Going to heaven. Amen. The devil said he was a fake and he was a myth. He was an imposter. But he said we can't drink it unless He's there. And what would heaven be without Jesus? I love Him tonight.
We want to praise God for such a message by Dr. Ronnie Simpson. And what a message. Till He comes. And He will be coming. He'll be at a twinkling of an eye. At the last trump. That's right. Paul said, by inspiration of God, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Titus chapter 2, verse 13. Yes, indeed. I can't wait to see Him. And when I see Him, It'll be glorious. You know, regarding the Passover, Exodus chapter 12 speaks very clearly about it. And you have to be really, really blind to the truth not to see the prophetic theme here. But let me just help, as we have just a few more minutes before we end this broadcast, with our announcements. But in Exodus chapter 12, we can clearly see Jesus Christ is surely the Lamb of God. We see that in the very feast of the Passover when it originated. And it has also the plan of salvation. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 1, the Bible says, "The Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying," here we must hear from God. And of course, we can only hear from God through His Word. We're all in Egypt spiritually before we get saved from our sins. And God spoke to them while they were in bondage, the Israelites. He said in verse 2, "This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you." And indeed, when a person does receive Christ, the Lamb of God, the Messiah, it is a new beginning. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. It's the beginning of months. And the Bible says, "Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house." Well, indeed, as Brother Simpson had remarked, that there are to be 10 present. Well, the Passover was done on the tenth day. And on this tenth day, the Bible says they are to take every man a lamb. That's right. And, of course, on the 14th day, they were to kill it. But the fact of the matter is, there was 10. Now, also 10 is the number of the Gentiles. So that this lamb is a picture of the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He's not only the Lamb of God, he's not only the sacrifice, the vicarious substitutionary sacrifice for the Jews only, but also for the whole wide world. Isn't that a blessing? But it is a gift, and we must receive the gift in order to inherit eternal life. Exodus chapter 12, verse 4, the Bible says, "And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house." Once we hear the word of God and we receive the truth, we have a new beginning in Christ, we are now, our responsibility is to go and start knocking on everybody's door and telling them that judgment is pending unless they get underneath the blood. And the description of the Lamb of God, "Your lamb shall be without blemish." Well, Christ was surely fulfilled. He surely fulfilled this. He was as a lamb without blemish and without spot. He's a male of the first year. This first year, firstling of the flock, can also be understood as the only begotten. And surely, Jesus was the first year. He was the firstling, and there's only one like him. "Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening." Now, what was so significant on the 14th of the month, Nisan 14, was the day of the Egyptian god, Amun-Ra. It was called the day of power. Here, the firstborn was made into the priest of Amun-Ra. The Egyptian Ka could not be performed by priests after God smote the firstborn. So it's very significant. It was to declare who is the real and true and living God. And surely, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was the one and is the one. When he says that the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill in an evening, well, we know that the strangers were invited in this, and all the congregation of Israel. They were all responsible. The whole wide world, Israel, the Gentiles, were all responsible for the death of the Messiah. So it's not right to say, well, the Jews killed Christ, although They're responsible. But the whole world's responsible. We're all responsible. So don't blame it on just on the Jews. We're all responsible. All our sins were placed upon him at the cross of Calvary. In fact, the Messianic Psalm, Te'ilim, in Psalm chapter 2, Te'ilim chapter 2, why do the heathen rage, verse 1, the Bible says, and the people imagine a vain thing. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, that is the Mashiach, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away the cords from us. And so therefore, the whole world's guilty. Every one of us is guilty. And here we find, and they shall take of the blood and strike it. That is as if to put a nail through on the two side posts and on the upper doorpost of the houses wherein they shall eat. That's a picture of the cross. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roasted with a fire and unleavened bread. And with bitter herbs, they shall eat it. Here is the fulfillment when Jesus said, we need to eat his flesh, drink his blood. That is, of course, spiritually speaking, he tasted death for every man. Unleavened, symbolizing that his body was without sin. And verse 10, the Bible said, he shall let nothing of it remain. Listen, Jesus paid it all. There's nothing more can be done. The purchase of our redemption has already been made by his shed blood. And this is to be a feast by an ordinance forever. Therefore, Jesus is our sacrificial lamb forever and ever. And in verse 46, the Bible says that neither shall he break a bone thereof. Just exactly like the prophecy, it was fulfilled. Not one bone of the body of Jesus Christ was broken. Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, indeed fulfilled this prophecy exactly the way it was foretold.
Covenant and showeth mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all of their hearts. O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heaven.
If after hearing this broadcast, God Almighty has convicted your heart of sin, then repent, that is, be willing to confess and forsake your sinfulness and wicked way, while acknowledging your transgressions against the Holy God. With sorrow and a broken heart for being an unworthy sinner, deserving eternal judgment in hell fire. Receive Christ, the Messiah's forgiveness, which was bought for you by his own blood, and call upon him to be your only Lord, God, and Savior. If you've asked by faith, believing, then God has given you eternal life according to his word. And now you should know for sure that your sins are forgiven and that you are gloriously saved and born again. Please write us and let us know of the good news about your salvation. Let us know if you are Jewish or from some other ethnic group. You have been listening to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast with Dr. K. Daniel Freed. The Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast is supported by free will offerings. If you would like to help keep this program on the air, please send your free will donation to the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. Once again, that's the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. The Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast is responsible for sending out thousands of Bibles and biblical literature free of charge throughout the world. If you are a Jewish person and would like to receive a free Hebrew-English New Covenant, also known as the New Testament, please request a copy. Other languages may also be available. We will also send you a free copy of our very popular booklet, Prophecy Unveiled. Again, if you are Jewish, please be encouraged to ask for this terrific booklet. This booklet is about Jewish prophecy. It has intrigued readers for thousands of years and is now at your fingertips. What do rabbis of old, historians, and religious commentators have to say about the subject? See for yourself and answer the age-old question, is prophecy unveiled? If you're not Jewish and desire to receive a Bible in English, please write to the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. That's Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, or POWDERSPRINGS, Georgia, or GA, 30127, USA. You are invited to visit our website at hopeofisrael.net. Again, our website address is hopeofisrael.net, or hopeofisrael.net. Please email or write us letting us know you're listening to our broadcast. This will be a great encouragement to us and will help us to know where the broadcast is being received around the world. Donations and King James Bibles are being accepted, enabling us to distribute Bibles and gospel literature worldwide. Please send only King James Bibles in good condition. This is Dr. K. Daniel Freed, wishing you God's richest blessings upon your life. And my earnest prayer is that you will be drawn closer to the Savior. Please remember to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Until our next broadcast, tune in again on this day at this same time for the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast.